Good morning, Your Honors. Sister Mel Bondian on behalf of petitioners.
You used up 9 minutes just getting up there.
Madam Clerk, I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, please. Your Honors, in this case, the issue here is the lead petitioner, Karina's credibility, and this is a pre-real ID case, of course. With regard to the sole issue in this case, the sole inconsistency that the judge found is with regard to the how they entered, where they entered from during prior trips.
The problem was that there were records of prior entries and then presumably prior returns in between these incidences of alleged persecution, which caused the IJ to think maybe those incidences didn't cause them to have the fear that they claim in this proceeding.
That's correct, Your Honor. The IJ, just like you said, he suspected that they may not have occurred. He was equivocal about it. He should have confronted
Didn't he? I thought he confronted her and she denied that she had entered the country before.
That's correct. And under Soto Olarte, the judge had to explain, well, first of all, nobody asked her, if you're denying, how do you reconcile that the record is? The record says that there's someone with a similar name who entered from, let's say, Lebanon.
Yeah, but she knew that that's why the asylum officer had denied the claim to begin with. It was no secret that this was the main concern.
That's correct, and she kept denying that. Right.
Why would she deny it? What would be the reason for denying it? If there's a clear government record, what would be the reason for denying it?
I think, as Petitioner's Counsel stated in the brief, that's not clear. Nobody asked her about why. I mean, basically, though, it could be that she was afraid, so afraid of the persecution that she suffered in Armenia on account of religion, that she didn't want to bring up any of this.
But that's not the fact.
What's that?
She came over here 3 times before, and she went back 3 times before. Why go back?
Well, Your Honor, sometimes I understand what the court is saying, but sometimes the individuals think that the country conditions may improve or that things may be better in the home country.
I have a different question, which doesn't seem to be what the IJ and BIA were stressing exactly, and I'm not sure why. But my understanding is that the visas, the 3 visas for 3 different visits, were issued in Lebanon and said that she was either a resident or a citizen of Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
So is what's really – this isn't what they're saying, but is the real problem here whether – that these strongly implicate whether she was really in Armenia at all?
Your Honor, I do understand that the record raises that concern. But that's another thing that should have been asked to clarify. Did you live in Lebanon for a certain time? I was surprised that it wasn't asked as well.
So maybe because it wasn't asked, it's not what the BIA and the IJ said. I mean, they were a little unclear about why they thought this was all that important. It seems like really it was very important because it seems to suggest that she – I mean, it would seem very odd that if you're living in Armenia that you go to Lebanon to get a visa
mm-hmm.
3 times. That isn't what their conclusion was.
It's kind of a real mystery here, too. Where'd she get the Pentecostal faith?
Mm-hmm.
This case is very perplexing. As I understand it, in Lebanon, there's Muslims and there's Catholics. I guess there's some Christians.
That's correct. There is some, there's Hezbollah, of course, who controls most of the country.
It's actually what I was wondering BIA might have been thinking and not saying, too.
Yeah, and that was not addressed either in terms of possible persecution in Lebanon. It is very convoluted and complex, I agree, and of course it was hard to parse through the record and try to figure out why some questions were not asked. If I was, of course, counsel at the time, I may have asked those questions, but
this is the pre-ID Act, so... we're free to consider whether these inconsistencies go to the heart of her claim.
That's correct. And the IJ himself admitted throughout his decision and throughout the testimony that the testimony otherwise is entirely consistent, the heart of the claim with regards.
And extremely detailed.
Extremely detailed and well documented with medical records.
And incredibly well documented compared to other cases because
that's
you have correct. You have not only two testifying witnesses but several people who
that's brought, correct. And they did take the risk of bringing the witnesses
let me
to court.
She is a Mulligan.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
A Mulligan?
A Mulligan?
Yeah.
Oh.
You know what a Mulligan
yeah,
is?
Yeah, to send it back and
no,
give her another chance.
Oh, goodness.
I do.
What is a Mulligan?
A Mulligan, the golf term, correct?
What?
You mean the golf terminology? Mulligan? Is
no,
that what you
are? Mulligan.
No, I do not, Your Honor. I apologize.
No. That's what she says here. She's a Mulligan, you know.
Yeah.
And the Mulligans.
And, Your Honor, also.
Mulligans. Uh-huh. Are a group of people. There are lots of Mulligans in L.A., you know. They lived in my old neighborhood.
It says Russian Mulligan Pentecostal in her declaration. You don't know what that is?
It says, I was raised in a Pentecostal family. My parents were followers of the Russian Mulligan Pentecostal religion. There are four children, my parents' family. All of us were raised to follow the Pentecostal religion, even though religion was forbidden during the period of Soviet rule of Armenia.
That's correct, Your Honor. And
the Mulligans are, they're a lot like Seventh-day Adventists. Huh? They don't... they're pacifists. They don't go in the military.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that?
I apologize, Your Honor. I'm being candid with the court. That is something that I overlooked.
They don't go in the military. Now, they do other things worth of national importance. But we had a lot of people that were Mulligans where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, big, strong guys, beautiful girls, you know. That's
and
what
they
I remember, you know, and great football players. But that was their religion. They adhered to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were terribly persecuted in Russia when the trouble started with the revolution. As many of them as could flee, fled. They came here to L.A.
That's correct.
They're still here. Yeah.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Don't know that.
Okay. What is the status? The IJ had some of these documents looked at for authenticity. I decided that some of them were not well frauds actually. But the BIA did not rely on any of that. Is that right?
That's correct.
That's kind of out of the case for now.
That's correct.
I mean, that's a very strange business too, because I mean, you have some documents that are said to be fraudulent and others that are not.
Well, yes, that's correct, but the Karine Stepanian's birth certificate was found, actually sent to forensics and found to be genuine, which is the lead petitioner, her where she is born and so forth is important. The other documents, that's correct, that the forensics...
It's strange that it was her marriage certificate
mm-hmm.
and the birth certificate of her husband were both found to be altered, and no one rebutted that.
Well, I guess through testimony, since they are otherwise consistent in their testimony, they were asked, where were you born? And
right, but what do we make of the forensic expert saying that the documents related to her spouse,
mm-hmm.
both related to her spouse, were altered?
I believe, Your Honor, and I'll go back and check, that they indicated that... it's a Yemen Berhi type situation where they indicated Yemen Berhi type situation where they indicated that the documents were received by them. They didn't personally pick it up from the clerk's office. So, and I'll go back and check the transcript on that. But in terms of why those documents being fraudulent was important and went to the heart of the claim, the persecution claim, was also not addressed by the IJ and the BIA. And Your Honors.
Country report, that wasn't assessed either. Was considered, was it?
The country report?
For Armenia.
It said that Pentecostals are being discriminated and persecuted.
The BIA didn't examine the country report.
That's correct. And
IJ.
And also, it's interesting that they just denied CAT without independent analysis of...
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's correct.
But do we get there if we... maybe we do independently. If we decide that the adverse credibility determination was not supported by substantial evidence, we don't get to some of your other arguments, but we still have to look at the CAT claim, right?
If you decide that the adverse credibility... You do, Your Honor. I believe the court should look at that independently as well.
What if we decided, I think I've said what's bothering about this case. If we were, it does appear that they didn't really ask her about these discrepancies and why it said that her visa application said that she was a citizen of Lebanon and so on. If we were to say that the reasons that were given were not adequate, could they go back and now relitigate the question of whether she was really from Armenia at all?
That would only be if the government sends it back on an open – if the court sends it back on an open record pursuant to Soto Olarte. But if you find that the adverse credibility was not supported and then we move on to the eligibility phase, I think the only time the government would be able to reopen the issue is if – they conduct an independent investigation again and find additional information, because they've had that opportunity to bring up all the evidence already up to this point.
Yeah. Once you have a seat, we'll hear
from you. Sure. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Morning.
May it please the Court. Good morning. My name is Tracy Jones, and I'm appearing on behalf of the respondent, Eric H. Holder. The court should deny the petition for review in this case because substantial evidence supports the adverse credibility finding and the record evidence does not compel a contrary conclusion. In this case, the immigration judge relied on numerous inconsistencies that went to the heart of the claim.
Well, they were not numerous. They were basically, one category. And
yes.
The question, whether it didn't go to the heart of the claim in any traditional sense. It had to do with how she got here and why, and not with what happened to her in Armenia, if she was really in Armenia, as to which nobody took any, said anything adverse about her story, which was, as I said, incredibly detailed and unusually corroborated. And yet there is this very disturbed. So what is your understanding of what the IJ, or more importantly, the BIA, said was relevant to the heart of her claim about the way she got here?
Well, Your Honor, I believe it was brought up with the petitioner. She entered into the United States two prior times before her last entry in August.
But that's not particularly unusual. People come, giving up your entire life is a big deal, and she also had a daughter here. So the fact that she came and went back, and then finally, according to her story, more things happened that were terrible, and then she just finally gave it up and said, I've got to get out of here. That's not, that doesn't seem sufficient by itself. The fact that she went, that if it did, there would be huge numbers of people who would lose on the ground that they weren't really afraid. It doesn't seem to go to whether she was really afraid particularly.
Well, it definitely undermines her claim, Your Honor. The most significant attack that she testified to occurred in May of 1995.
She did testify to significant physical attacks after 1998, right?
Yes. Majority of the attacks that she testified to occurring after 1995 was against her husband. But the most severe attack that actually occurred to the lead petitioner in this case occurred in 1995. She went back to, she traveled to the United States in 1996, and then also in 1998, returning to Armenia.
My reaction is, if she had said this, that she'd done this, and then they had relied on that as a reason for saying that nothing she said otherwise said was true because she'd gone back and forth two times, that would never fly. What's disturbing here is that she lied about it.
Yes, that's
right. But that means that and you want to know why, and you want to, it's just sort of a big mystery. But if she had just gotten up and said, if her whole story originally had been, you know, I came here twice, and then I came again on a visitor visa, but I want asylum because this is what happened to me, I don't think anybody would say boo about that in terms of the fact that she'd been here twice before and gone back.
But the other thing that's sort of interesting about her history of persecution is that the persecutors kept changing over time. I mean, in the beginning, it was the KGB. According to her story, if you believe it, when Armenia was controlled by the Soviet Union, they were persecuted by the KGB. And the most recent, there was a new transition to a new government in Armenia, and then the police started persecuting to the point where they're in evangelicals, according to the, and so they couldn't perform their evangelical work. It's conceivable, it's plausible that under some of the regimes, she felt she could go back and still perform the tenets of her religion. But in this last regime, she gave it up. She wasn't going to be able to do that.
Yes, and that's possible, Your Honor.
Well, it's hard for people to leave where they were born, where they grew up, you know, they get kicked around, they leave, they want to go back, that's where, you know, the family lives, that's what they know. So, the Armenians have lived through lots of adversities throughout the centuries, so, you know, and they're still there. You'd think all of them would have gotten out when they had a chance, but
was she ever?
We got to consider that too. We got to consider the fear that they live under, but still that pull to go back. You know, it's their country too. Huh?
And that's true, Your Honor. But in this case, the petitioner did not present credible evidence, which is her burden of proof. Oh. The IJ didn't know what to believe.
Well, he didn't try very hard. I mean, she put out this statement. I read it. It's one of the most complete statements that I've read on the declaration of Katrine Tafanian. She goes through this. And it just goes on page after page. It's a translation, but it's written, it's detailed.
I mean,
it explains her life and then he doesn't even look at the country report
there
wasn't torture claim.
Ultimate any finding or suggestion that she wasn't actually a resident of Armenia. In other words, this is what confuses me. Did they ever ask her directly? I understand that the lawyer got up and said they're denying that they really came in early. Did they ever ask her directly whether she, you know, why there was this discrepancy?
In regards to the number of entries? Yes, they did, Your Honor.
She said it's not true.
She just denied it.
And they asked her why this says that you're a citizen of Lebanon or any of that?
Well, Your Honor, when it comes to the lead petitioner, her citizenship was really not in question because the birth certificate that she submitted from the government of Armenia was actually deemed authentic.
Except that the visa application said she was a citizen of Lebanon.
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
And another one said she was a resident of Lebanon. And that seems to me to be the all-important thing because it suggests that, you know, if she was not in Armenia, then all these things could have happened to her in Armenia.
And that's correct,
but nobody says that, that it's not the finding.
And that's correct, Your Honor. The finding is that the number of entries into the United States undermines her claim for asylum because if she was actually fleeing Armenia, then she would not have returned 2 to 3 times after the most significant attack.
Is it not true, would you not agree with me, that I could find 200 cases in which that happened to people go and come for exactly the reason Judge Pragerson says. I mean, they're trying to see whether they can make it or live somewhere else, but they've lived this place their whole life. And she had a daughter here.
Yes.
So if it all had been above board, it couldn't possibly have had any significance.
That's correct, Your Honor. But in this case, it does have weighing because there's a pattern of dishonesty here in this case.
But see, then you're saying something different. Then you're saying they're entitled to disbelieve everything she said because she lied about this. And that seems inconsistent with the case law, the heart of the claim case law. So in other words, either you're saying, well, she's proven to be a liar so we can disbelieve all these other things she said, even though this doesn't go to the heart of the claim, and that we can't do under the case law for the pre-ID Act, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Right. So that presumably is why they came up with this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing, you know, standing by itself can't possibly be sufficient because it happens all the time, and we all have this instinct that if she hadn't lied about it, nobody would have seized on it at all.
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor. But
well, it's correct. Then you have to lose.
Well,
even though there's something very disquieting about this case.
Well, Your Honor, again, the immigration judge in this case didn't know what to believe because the petitioner failed to meet their burden of proof of the date of entry.
Issue. I mean, you're just reciting something, right? I mean, that's saying because she lied about this, he could disbelieve everything she said. Right? Isn't that what you're saying when you're saying he didn't know what to believe?
Well, Your Honor, what I'm saying is that her whole basis of her claim was on persecution from that she would experience in Armenia. Here, the IJ doesn't know whether.
But that's exactly what he didn't say. I mean, and that's exactly what you're not saying. Because if for some reason they were never willing to bite the bullet and say, well, you know, we doubt that she was ever in Armenia. They didn't say that.
That's correct. They didn't.
So, you know, what happens if we send it back? What happens if we say this isn't sufficient to support the adverse credibility determination that was made on the purported grounds on which it was made? What happens if we send it back? Then would they really look into the claim and see if all this stuff happened?
Yes, Your Honor. The immigration judge in this case found the petitioner's incredible. So that was dispositive of their claim, not reaching the merits of it. So under INS Ventura and Gonzalez v. Thomas, this court would have to remand it back to the agency to consider the claims for asylum.
To me, this is like a do-over. Do it right. I mean, this is an older case. I don't know why we're hearing it now. I know it's been languishing around. It's an older case. And I know for a fact that the immigration judges have gotten a lot better. And we probably wouldn't have this case in this posture if we had some of our current immigration judges looking at this.
Well, Your Honor, the immigration.
But if we determine that these inconsistencies don't go to the heart of her claim, then as the law existed at that time, they're really not a factor. They don't go to the heart of the claim, so then that ends it there. Doesn't close the door on them. Then we go on to the merits.
Well, the agent
works.
The agency will have to rule on the merits first, Your Honor, since they did not in this case. So if you find that substantial evidence does not support the adverse credibility finding, it must be remanded to the agency to consider the merits. the agency has the discretion to grant asylum relief and also withholding of removal, which they did not get to the merits in this case because the adverse credibility finding was dispositive of the claim. So, therefore, the agency should have to consider this in the first instance, not this court.
You know, another thing that's going on in the world during that time, and, well, it's going on today, too, but many, many people that lived in the Russian Armenia, they also moved to Beirut, and they moved back and forth. Then they get caught in that civil war, And some of them are in Fresno right now. I know that because I had a lot of these cases when I was a district judge. So, you know, it's, and a lot of them are survivors of what has been called the Armenian massacre of a million people. And I know one of them was on the California Supreme Court. He tells us that story. So you have to think about all those things when you arrive at a, when the government arrives at a compassionate decision.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
Well, just one last question. This is maybe a stupid question, but what's an apostille? What are these things?
I believe, Your Honor, and I'm not quite sure, so please don't hold me to this, but I believe from my understanding it's just almost similar to, I don't want to say a birth certificate, but it's issued by the government, and I believe it's to help with identity issues.
They said that those were authentic.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's a mystery, too, another mystery.
Exactly, but the birth certificate that was allegedly submitted from the Armenian government was found in the male petitioner's case to be fraudulent and altered.
This has been a pleasure having you.
Did you come out from Washington to this terrible weather?
I was hoping for better weather, but
in California,
at least it's not 40 degrees.
And you have a very nice, clear voice.
Thank you.
You're not from Tennessee, are you?
No, I'm not.
Where are you
People
from?
Say I'm from, I have a southern accent, but I'm actually from Maryland.
Well, that's pretty close.
Yes.
Yeah. I know my daughter went to medical school, and she went to the University of Virginia.
Okay.
But when she came back, she was had a typical southern accent. So it took her a long time.
Yeah, we have a tendency to rub off on people.
Yeah. All
right, okay.
Thank you,
Your Honors.
Thank you. We'll have good weather in about 4 hours. So ordered.
Your Honors, since I went over my time, unless the court has something to address, I think Your Honors have covered.
Have nothing else to say. You can see the way the...
That's correct. So that's why, unless you want me to address anything.
I have one other question. It appears that... one of them, I guess the husband, actually has a United Citizen mother who could apply for a visa for him, but hasn't. Is that right? There is no pending visa?
I believe that's true because even if it became current, the priority date, they would not be eligible under Section 245I because it would be filed after April 30, 2001. So they would have to return to their home country, which they don't want to do. So.
Okay.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you.